It's the story of an American held in a dark Venezuelan prison.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
I'm Becky Bruce. I spent a year working on Hope in Darkness, which now has more than 2 million downloads. Find it on KSLpodcast.com or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brielso Lake puts this game away.
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
It's Friday, and it's time to talk some football. This is Football Friday on The Zone, presented by Utah First Credit Union. Get a judgment-free auto loan at utahfirst.com. This is Jake Scott and Ben Anderson on 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone.
Jake and Ben, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. Football Fridays are presented by Utah First Credit Union. No judgments, just auto loans for all credit types. Apply online today. UtahFirst.com. It's UtahFirst.com. We are live at Peach Doors and Windows in Salt Lake City, 2940 South 300 West in Salt Lake City. Come on by and see us. Going to be here until noon today, but you can always check them out online. PeachBuildingProducts.com, PeachBuildingProducts.com, or you can give them a call and schedule your free in-home estimate. 801-566-1255, 801-566-1255. Totally change the feel of your home. You can increase the value of your home. You can increase the efficiency of your home. You can do it all in one fell swoop with Peach Doors and Windows. We're going to talk to Michelle Bodkin coming up here in just a moment as the University of Utah traveled up to Corvallis. I think it was yesterday they flew up there. Maybe it was 2 days ago as they get ready to take on the Oregon State Beavers tonight. And what's a potentially huge game for the end of the season? I don't think Utah's hopes of winning the Pac-12 are dashed if they don't win tonight, but it would certainly help if they could get through the first half of their schedule unscathed going into their bye week and coming back against Cal at home on October 14th. Let's welcome in our next guest. She is our University of Utah insider at KSLsports.com. It is Michelle Bodkin. What's going on, Michelle?
I am just enjoying the Portland traffic.
Oh, is it?
Is what I am doing right now.
Is it rainy? How's the weather?
It's not rainy. It's a little overcast, pretty warm. But oh man, I forgot how bad it is getting out of Portland.
Yeah,
and how bad driving in Oregon is.
It's not the easiest thing to do. And you're right. You know, it's always gray. That's not unusual. Do we know what to expect tonight? I've looked at the weather a little bit, and I'm seeing possible chance of rainstorms, maybe a little rain coming up starting at 1 p.m., but not super heavy.
Yeah, my impression is whatever rain is supposed to happen today happens earlier and clears off before the game. But, I mean, we all know weather forecasts aren't necessarily always the most accurate thing ever. So, I mean, it could potentially rain for the game, but at least as of right now, they're saying it should be done and over with by then.
All right, I want to talk to you about Oregon State coming up here in just a minute, what you've seen from them so far this season. But let's start with Utah, and unfortunately, let's start with the same question I've been asking you for 2.5 months now. What's the deal with Cam Rising? What do we expect tonight?
I am unfortunately not expecting Cam Rising once again. I know it's such a frustrating situation for the fans, but especially for Cam and the coaches. It once again sounds like it was a situation where things looked really, really good early in the week, and something came up towards the end of the week, and it changed the plan. So unless something else has changed or will change, I'm going into this expecting no Cam Rising once again.
And I hate to just put you on the spot here then. Do you expect him back, A, this year, And B, do you expect him back as soon as, you know, after the bye week against Cal? Like, do you feel like it's actually getting to a point where he may not play at all, or do you expect to see him back this season?
I still expect to see him back. It's just one of those stupid, unfortunate things from what I can kind of gather and understand. It's not like it's a setback or, you know, that he's gone re-injured or there's an issue with the surgery. I don't know. I think I kind of explained it to you. It's like trying to lose weight. You lose the first, like, 30 pounds super, super fast, and you think, oh, this is going to be a breeze, and then for whatever reason, you get hung up on the last 5 pounds. And that's just kind of where Cam's at. Everything was a breeze. Everything's gone really well. But for whatever reason, whatever the doctors want to see from him to get that final clearance, it just hasn't worked out yet. But I do think he plays eventually. Again, this isn't like anything serious. It's a frustration.
Michelle, what about some of the other offensive weapons for the University of Utah, specifically Jaquindon Jackson, who's been in and out of the lineup in the backfield for Utah? Seems like he comes in and plays 6 to 10 downs and then leaves the game with an injury. I know what had said rest was going to be the key. Can they take advantage of that against Oregon State, or do you expect him to play?
I kind of think he'll give it a crack. Who knows how explosive he'll be, how much he can handle, but I would be a little surprised if I don't see him at all. But I do think, you know, they're going to put most of that weight on Jalen Glover because they do need to get Jaquindon rested up, which is, again, another kind of frustrating situation. You have, you know, a bunch of weapons that honestly could make things a lot easier for Nate, but instead, not only are you breaking in a young guy in Nate, which he's done a good job. I don't think anybody can, like, really look at what he's done and been terribly disappointed. But it is really hard, you know, when you're breaking yourself in with other guys that are kind of breaking themselves in because they haven't played a whole lot. And that's just kind of, I think, the biggest situation with Utah's offense at the moment is those kind of key veteran guys haven't necessarily been as available as Utah would have wanted them to be. And so you're breaking in a bunch of new guys, and when you break in a bunch of new guys, you have things stall out. You tend to play it a little careful to try and make sure that, you know, big mistakes don't happen that can't be recovered from. And it's kind of been a whole thing for this team this year.
Can Chris Curry get on the field and continue to play a bigger role of I guess, lessening that burden on Jalen Glover?
I know that is the hope for the coaches. I don't know that it happens this week per se. I know he's close as well, but he's, according to Kyle Whittingham, still having some, like, lingering effects from that serious injury he had almost a year ago. And so it's just getting over that hump and I think feeling comfortable going full bore again. So hopefully he's in a place where he can contribute more, because I do think he really could help the offense a lot. But he's in a wait-and-see situation, kind of like everybody else.
One weapon I thought Utah was really missing, as we're talking to Michelle Bodkin, getting you ready for Utah and Oregon State last week against UCLA, and I think it actually changed how Utah manage their offense a little bit, was not having Cole Becker. Of course, they missed that first field goal opportunity and really seemed determined to go for it on fourth down pretty much after that. Do you expect Cole Becker back this weekend? Because in a low-scoring game, which I think this has the potential to be, he could be the difference.
Yeah, I think Cole would be immensely helpful for Utah to have. He's another guy that we might see him back, we might not see him back. I know it sounds so, like, just comical to say that about every single guy you're asking me about, but it's the darndest thing. I don't recall a time where it's like guys are close to being okay and being good to go, but they might also still not be. And I know it's a frustrating thing for these coaches. I know you know, it's hard on the players too, because there's a little bit of, well, I still need to prepare in case I am the one that gets called up, but I might not be the one that's called up. And then, of course, the guys that are trying to get themselves right and get back into the swing of things and are also kind of doing that will I, won't I game week in and week out. It's been a very odd situation. And I mean, to be honest, it's very encouraging that Utah's 4-0 already and has the potential to go 5-0.
Yeah, do you think this game is a must-win for Utah if they hope to keep their Pac-12 title hopes alive?
I don't know that it's a must-win, but I think it makes their lives easier because after this game and after Cal, it gets really serious. That's when you get into having to play USC. That's when you have to get into playing Oregon, Washington, and, you know, those are going to be, I think, the toughest games for Utah, and especially if we're continuing on this will they, won't they trend on the injury front with players. So I think, like, here, the thing about it is, like, Oregon State is absolutely capable of beating Utah. I don't want to say that, but I don't think they pose as big of a threat based off of kind of what I've seen and what I've observed as maybe some of the other teams that are coming further down the line. So to me, it's more helpful if Utah goes into their bye week 5-0 and then takes care of things at home against Cal to go 6-0 and then, you know, just kind of try to do your best with those three really, really tough games that you have coming up on the back end of the schedule.
Do you think anyone's going to go undefeated in the Pac-12 this year?
I mean... I personally would be shocked, but it would be the most Pac-12 thing ever to have someone finally do it in the last year of its existence. So, I mean, I will never say never, but I think that's a doubtful for me.
Michelle Bodkin's our guest, the KSL Sports Zone. As we're trying to keep Michelle connected again, she is driving through traffic in Portland as she is headed to Corvallis to make sure she can catch this game as Utah takes on Oregon State. And what she described is not a must-win, but certainly a very important game. I do think, and one of my questions I'll be curious to ask Michelle when she gets back on is, how much has Utah's decision-making regarding personnel has been based on the schedule? And Michelle, I want to pick up with you there. How much do you think Utah has been able to plan for this season? And again, like, I don't know if it's being conservative resting guys. I've always been of the belief if they could have played Cam Rising at any point, they would have. If they could play Brant Keithy at any point, of course, they would have. But do you think that now that they are a week or a game away removed from a bye week, you've got a pretty soft landing against Cal, does that change their decision making on how quickly they're putting these guys back on the field?
It maybe could. That's something that I found myself pondering a little bit, because it just feels like Utah at this point, I mean, you have to be feeling pretty good. If you can get past Oregon State and be 5-0, why wouldn't you maybe rest some of those key players one more week against Cal and then just be really ready to go to take on that last part of your schedule? And in a lot of ways, that makes a ton of sense to me. And if you could have your starters mostly 100% to 100% at a time when everybody else is maybe starting to get hit with the injury bug, it could be very advantageous for Utah. But at the same time, you know, coaches and players are competitive people and they always want to put their best foot forward if they can. So I think it's going to be an interesting thing to watch. I think if I was them, personally, again, if you can get past Oregon State and be 5-0 going into your bye week, I think I would probably sit those guys through Cal, to be honest, and then be ready to rock the following week against USC.
Michelle, we've heard Kyle Whittingham say that Nate Johnson now has about 75% of the offense compared to Cam Rising. And then it's just about figuring out what he's comfortable doing. We certainly haven't seen 75% of the offense from Utah. Maybe they're able to practice it, but we don't see it out there. Do you think that's because they took an early 7-0 lead and 14-0 lead over UCLA, and before that they were playing Weber State, and he didn't even start the game before that? So is this just based on the fact that they haven't really had to open up the offense at any point yet?
I think there might be a little bit of that there. Now, granted, I think part of it, too, is the execution rate as well. And Nate kind of brought that up. He brought it up with Unrivaled earlier in the week. You know, we have to go out and execute what's being asked of us. And he didn't think that the Utah offense, himself included, did a particularly good job of that. And so, you know, if you're not executing the few things that you are being asked to execute well, it makes it really hard, I think, for the coaches to feel confident to open up the full playbook. But at the same time, I think they also kind of look at, well, this defense is just playing keep away with the other team's offense, and we feel good that they can kind of continue to do that. So, you know, maybe we do just kind of hold back, make sure that we don't put our guys in positions that they make mistakes that again, we can't come back from because we're playing young guys and they're still kind of learning. But I think at the same time, there comes a point where you have to start trusting your guys too. And I think last week was maybe a bit of a wake-up call to that. And so it's going to be really interesting to me to see if they don't let Nate loose a little bit more this week. I think it would honestly be better for the offense, and I think it would be better for Nate Johnson too. I mean, he is the future. At some point, you do have to trust him to kind of start doing normal things you would do with the offense.
Michelle, where are you on Oregon State? Before the season, I said they were a dark horse to win the Pac-12, and they still could be because they have a very easy schedule. They get to avoid USC this year. They've got some key games at home. But I was surprised to see them lose to Washington State. And we can go back and say, oh, well, it was a 38-35-point game in Washington. But truthfully, that game was 35-14, excuse me, with 5 minutes to go in the third quarter. Like, truly, Washington State blew them out, and Oregon State scored 21 points in the fourth quarter, but it wasn't ever really all that close. Washington State was able to just kneel on the ball at the end of the game and win it somewhat comfortably without ever really being in danger of losing. So where are you on Oregon State? Are they better than you expected? Are they still a threat to win the Pac-12? Are they a little below what you had thought with DJ Uiagalelei coming in from Clemson?
So far, I would say they feel a little below what I was expecting. But in fairness, that it was always a possibility because there were some questions about they have some key players that are no longer on their defense that made that defense so good last year. And it looks like they maybe haven't quite gelled and figured that part of it out. And then, you know, you talk about DJU. The storyline of his career has been there are times when he looks really hot and unstoppable, and there's other times where he looks like a mere mortal. In the past 2 weeks against Washington State and San Diego State, you know, he's just looked okay. He hasn't looked like a huge threat. And so, you know, I think unfortunately Oregon State's going to get that mixed bag DJU. Now, with that said, could he light things up today against Utah? Possibly. Anything's within the realm of possibility, and we've definitely seen that happen before with a Utah team where a team doesn't look that threatening, and then all of a sudden their guy has, you know, a career day for whatever reason against Utah's defense. I think this defense for Utah is too dialed in. I think DJU is going to have a hard time. So really it's going to be about can Oregon State's defense do enough to kind of keep their offense in the game and really slow down Utah's offense. And that, based off of what we've seen the last couple of weeks, that I could see happening. But it's just going to depend on, you know, how much does Utah decide to open up the playbook? How confident do they feel in Nate Johnson really kind of taking the reins and doing some things kind of doing more what they asked him to do against Baylor than what they've asked him to do against Weber State and UCLA the past 2 weeks. If we get more Baylor Nate Johnson, then I think it's a long day for Oregon State. If we kind of get put it in neutral Nate Johnson and Utah offense, then it could end up being a very, very close and interesting game.
How many points does Utah need to score to win this game?
I mean, the last couple of games, they barely needed to crack 20. So, I think as long as you can kind of get within that 20-something range, I think Utah's probably fine in this game.
That was Michelle Bodkin. I think we lost her in traffic. We will let Michelle focus on getting to Corvallis safely. Make sure you read her at KSLSports.com, our University of Utah insider. And I'm with her there. I mean, what, Utah could have won each of their last two games, what is it, by just scoring 8 points? They held both of the last two teams to 7 points. So we certainly know that Utah is extremely dangerous defensively. Are they going to be able to keep that up against Oregon State, who at times has shown an ability to put up some points? Like we said, yeah, they came back and scored 35 against Washington State, but they had only scored 14 through the first, 40 minutes of that game, and really just kind of came back late once it was already out of hand. Now, maybe that was the momentum that that offense has been looking for, and they're going to bounce back. They weren't great offensively against San Diego State, who has a decent defense 2 weeks ago either. I think Utah's going to keep this a low-scoring game. And yeah, if Utah can manage 21, 28 points, I think they have a real shot to win this game. The hard part is 14 of those points may have to come from the defense. And if that's something they can do, they'll have a great chance to win. They did that last year against Oregon State. You remember Clark Phillips opened the game with that pick six. I think they had another one later in the game, or a scoop and score. But regardless, Utah's defense is that dangerous, and they do have a chance to find a way to put up points to keep Utah and Nate Johnson in this game. Then he's going to have to figure out how to move the ball with his legs, maybe a little bit with his arm, and a lot of that's going to have to do with what Andy Ludwig is able to figure out for Utah to make sure that they can stay competitive, because a win here going into a bye week and then taking on Cal late in the or in mid-October, October 14th, would give them a real shot to have great momentum going into the season, where you're going to be, as weird as it sounds, despite the fact that you haven't had healthy bodies, you might be one of the healthier teams in the conference if you can get Cam Rising back, you can get Brant Keithy back, you can get Jaquindon Jackson back and playing without taking as many hits as other guys have once they get into that stretch run of the season. I think that's going to be a big, big positive for Utah, but it's going to be mainly a key about getting those guys back and healthy when they are ready to go. We're hanging out live at Peach Doors and Windows, 2940 South, 300 West in Salt Lake City. You can also give them a call and schedule your free in-home estimate, 801-566-1255. Cindy, let's talk about that a little bit. If someone calls in, says, hey, I want to have somebody come out and look at my house, I mean, what are we talking about? How quickly can you get somebody out to their home? How quickly can a project get going?
We can usually set up an appointment within 4 or 5 days, and we're pretty flexible about coming out to the home. And we do like to come out to people's homes so we can do measurements, so we can look at their project, so we can look at the style of their home and make recommendations about maybe products or styles they haven't considered. Because we have a family of products, so we can make a wide range of recommendations based on your home and its age and what we feel maybe would update it or give it, just unlock the potential of your home and see what we can do to make some transformations for you.
And I think one of the things that I'm always surprised by is, you know, the sizes of these doors are not the standard sizes you see when you go into the big box. You can actually customize like a 16-foot door. I mean, it doesn't have to just be, oh, well, this is the sliding glass door I have coming off my kitchen, or these are the bifold doors I have coming off my master. No, you can totally customize, change how it fits in your entire house.
Well, and the nice thing that we're able to do is if you're replacing something in your home and you want to replace it the same size as you have, we can custom size it so it can fit nice and tight. It won't be like a stock size off a shelf. So we want to customize it. And if you want to enlarge the opening, then we can customize it to whatever size is appropriate. We did a kitchen where we took out a little kitchen window over sink and we put in 18 feet of windows across the kitchen and totally customized that kitchen with a whole new look and, you know, wall-to-wall windows so that they took advantage of the outdoors and their view. So we have unlimited possibilities. And that's what differentiates us from a lot of other people out there in the marketplace is we want to do something different for you. We don't want to be cookie cutter. And, you know, the secret to our success is our staff. They are secret sauce and they do incredible things and have incredible visions. And they're more than just people who do window and door projects. They're designers, they're innovators, and they work with you to do something unique for your home. And, you know, you deserve it. You deserve to have whatever you want in your home and to upgrade your home.
Well, it's your home. It's your biggest expense in your life. It's where you spend most of your time. It's where you have your memories with your family. It might as well be the home you want it to be.
When you're exactly right. It's where you spend all your time, and you want it to be a place that you want to spend all your time, where you want to go to get away from the stress of life and go relax and enjoy and find peace and tranquility.
You've also got the European tilt and turn windows exclusive here. You're not even going to find them anywhere else that may try and say that, hey, we can do custom this or they don't even have the opportunity to put these windows in your home because you're an exclusive distributor in the entire West of some of these windows.
That's correct. We've got a distributorship for these European windows. It's German technology, and we're exclusive for Salt Lake City and to the West. And the amazing thing about the tilt and turn windows is how they operate and their energy efficiency and their sound control. They reduce sound from the outside. You're able to control your ventilation, and they're amazingly secure. They have amazing energy properties, lock properties. Their design is German technology that the Europeans have had for decades that's now available in Salt Lake. The coolest thing about them, from my point of view, is they open to the inside so I can wash the inside and the outside of the window on the inside of my home. I don't have to go outside on a ladder.
Yeah.
No ladder.
No, they're very cool because you're right. They open in, but you can still do the kind of traditional open. They swing open or they can tilt the top for the ventilation. And the nice thing is about the sound. We are, I will say this, everywhere I go in Salt Lake, there's construction. There is construction everywhere, which means there's sound everywhere and there's more traffic everywhere. You can block that out with newer windows. And some of these European windows have higher standards than we have in the U.S. And if you can't get them anywhere else, come on down and make sure you have the best standards, the highest standards here at Peach Doors and Windows, 2940 South, 300 West, or give them a call, 801-566-1255, or find them online, peachbuildingproducts.com. Cindy, thanks for having us.
Thanks, Ben.
When we come back, I believe it's number 17. Sarah in the Jazz 50 Greatest Players of All Time, Thurl Bailey yesterday, maybe a controversial name today. Stick around, I'll be curious what listeners think. Jake and Ben, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
It's the story of an American held in a dark Venezuelan prison.
Then all of a sudden they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
I'm Becky Bruce. I spent a year working on Hope in Darkness, which now has more than 2 million downloads. Find it on KSLpodcast.com or wherever you listen to podcasts.
For the best college football in Utah is on the KSL Sports Zone. The Cougars return home for a key Big 12 showdown against Cincinnati. Your home for the best coverage of Cougar football is right here on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. This is Jake Scott and Ben Anderson, presented by Any Hour Services on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
Jake and Ben, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. A very happy game day Friday to everybody out there. We are hanging out live at Peach Doors and Windows, 2940 South, 300 West. Going to be here for about another 30 minutes, but always love being down here, checking out the latest technology and the latest ways you can improve your home. Check them out online. PeachBuildingProducts.com. That's PeachBuildingProducts.com. Good conversations with Mitch Harper and Michelle Bodkin previewing BYU and Utah's games tonight. If you've missed those, go check them out, KSLSports.com. We'll also post the press conference earlier today from Will Hardy and Justin Zanuck as the Utah Jazz prepare to open training camp. Technically, beginning Monday is media day. They will fly to Hawaii midday, and Tuesday they will be underway getting ready for their game a week from Sunday against the Clippers. I can't believe the season's already here, but you have full coverage at KSLSports.com, and I will have a write-up on that presser from earlier today at KSLSports.com. With that said, it's time for number 17 on your Utah Jazz top 50 players of all time, as voted on by media members and the fans. Sarah, let's get to number 17.
It's the 50th year of Jazz basketball, and the Zone is counting you down to this historic season by naming the top 50 Jazz players of all time, as voted on by the local media and you, the fans. And now, here's today's selection.
At number 17 in the Jazz 50 countdown, forward Larry Markkanen. Acquired by the Jazz in a blockbuster trade that sent Donovan Mitchell to Cleveland, Markkanen was an all-star in his first season in Utah. In 66 games, the forward has averaged 25.5 points and 8.5 rebounds for the Jazz.
The top 50 Jazz players of all time, presented by UCCU Love Where You Bank. On your home of Utah Jazz basketball, 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone.
Number 17, Ben, Lowry Markkanen. One season already at 17?
66 games. Not a lot of games. But look, I will say this. I remember, you remember the 50th anniversary team in the NBA? What was it, 96 or whatever it was? Mm-hmm. And everyone was mad that Shaq was on it. And now it's like, Shaq's the eighth best player in NBA history. Or, you know, wherever you want to put him, like... I get it. 66 games for Lowry Markkanen is a very small sample size. He averaged 25 points, 8 rebounds, 40% from the three-point line, started in an all-star game at home, nearly led the Jazz to the playoffs. In fact, I think you and I both agree, had the Jazz played him, they would have gone to the playoffs, probably at least the play-in tournament. Lowry belongs on this list. And as he accrues time here, it's a no-doubter. But if people want to have a qualm that he shouldn't be here yet after just 66 games, I guess I would listen to that.
Yeah, one season. Although he's not top 10 either.
No, he's not top 10. You know, and in 4 or 5 years, if he's still here...
Could easily be.
And performs anywhere similar to this level? I mean, how many Jazz players ever average 25 in a season? It's like four guys.
Let alone 25 and 8. Karl Malone's got to be the only other one who did that, right?
I would think so. Yeah, right. I mean, not many people have ever averaged those types of numbers, especially at that level of efficiency. I mean, it's crazy. Truck Robinson averaged 23 and 15. Like, those are big numbers. Yeah. But yeah, 25 and 8, and can probably get up 28 points this season, 29 points this season. I don't think that would be all that shocking. So, high for his short tenure in Utah, but I think a very real chance 3 years from now he could be, like, number 7 or 8 on this list.
Let me ask you this, though. 3 years from now, is he the best player on the team?
Yeah, he might not be. He might not be on the team with today's NBA. And
well,
I
let's
guess
assume
that,
he is. But, I mean, is he the number one on a contending team?
I actually think he might be good enough to do that. I honestly do. I think he might be good enough to do that. And that's extremely high praise off of a very small sample size with 66 games again. If he plays like this for three more seasons, I mean, I think he right now he's good enough to be the best player on a contending team. The team around him's got to get a lot better.
Sure.
But he's an all-star starter and a borderline all-NBA player.
Was Donovan Mitchell ultimately able to be the best player on a contending team? Not really. I guess you could say the Jazz contended, I suppose.
Yeah, they had the best record in the NBA. I will say this. I think Lowry Markkanen's season last year was better than any Donovan Mitchell ever had in Utah.
I'd listen to that argument.
Yeah. I
mean,
would,
you could argue for Donovan, too, don't get me wrong, but I'd listen to it.
Barring 17 seasons of Karl Malone being one of the best players in the NBA for 17 straight years like he was with the Jazz once he really kind of hit his prime and was a perennial all-star, if you were to take those out because it's such ridiculous numbers,
Lowry's individual season last year was probably top five in Jazz history, if you exclude Carl's run.
Yeah, but if he takes a step back, we'll forget all about it.
Yeah, we will. We will.
So that's kind of the where the only playing here one season comes in, honestly. Like, again, I've told you this a million times. When we had season tickets to the Charlotte Hornets, Kelly Trepucco was an all-star and averaged 20 points per game. Never did that again.
Sure, never did it again.
And nobody remembers Kelly Trepucco.
Correct.
Right? Outside of me, who brings it up on the radio once a year.
Right, right.
Nobody remembers that guy.
So, yeah, it's very possible that this was lightning in a bottle.
If he takes a step back, I'm not betting on that, but if he does, then all of a sudden it's, oh, we had that one great year, move him down.
Yep. And, you know, that's why I like this list. This list is evergreen. It doesn't mean it's always going to be right, but it's always going to be around. And we will get to go back and look at this list in 10 years at the 60th anniversary and be like, Lowry was 17? He'll either be, like, 35 or like 6.
Yeah.
I don't think he stays at 17. I would be surprised if that happens.
By the way, is Kelly Trepucco, I'm assuming he's still coming.
Yeah, he's in the top 4.
He's top 4?
Top 4.
Kelly's still coming. I assumed he was.
No. Kelly does not make the list, unfortunately.
What?
Yeah, I know.
No?
Nope.
Oh, come on.
So we'll see. We'll see with Lowry.
What about Eric Lechner?
No, Eric Murdoch doesn't make the list either. Only two All-Star players, but we were into this All-Star run now. Mike Conley, obviously on Wednesday, was our first All-Star. Lowry Markkanen here today. And then almost from here on out, it's all All-Stars.
Lowry Markkanen, number 17.
All right, Jazz fans, what do you think? 66 games for Lowry Markkanen. Is that enough to justify being ranked number 17 overall? Hard to argue with his numbers, 25 points, 8 rebounds, 2 assists, super efficient as a scorer. And again, had the Jazz really pushed to put him into the postseason, they probably could have gotten there. Let us know. You can always follow us on Twitter or X at KSL Sports. And if you can follow me, I tweet these out there as well at Ben's Hoops. But right now, it's time for a view into the Pac-12.
Looking into the biggest storylines across college football. It's a view into the Pac-12 brought to you by Peach Windows and Doors on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
JP's progression as a player is what every coach wants out of all their guys. You know, you see the progression of the offensive piece, the understanding conceptually of what you're doing, and then just the commitment to transform his body and improve it continually. I think he's one of the hardest workers we have, both in and out of season, and I think it's really showing. And so to see him come out and kind of match suit, really, with what Rome and J-Mac have done in the offseason and built their game up, and I think JP is just showing that, you know, he's put in just as much, if not more, work than everybody else. And I think that he'll only get better. I think his best football is ahead of him.
JP is, of course, Jalen Polk, the wide receiver at Washington. That was UW offensive coordinator Ryan Grubb, talking about that explosive offense that Washington has and put them in a spot where a lot of people think they are in contention to be one of the best teams in the country and a bona fide playoff contender. They just crushed Cal. Have another relatively easy game, I would think, on the road tomorrow. They're going to take on Arizona. They've got a bye week. Then they're going to face Oregon. Both teams coming off a bye, but that game is at Washington, at home in Seattle. Home against Arizona State. They go at Stanford. Then they get USC on the road, Utah at home, at Oregon State, and then home against Washington State. Those last four games are brutal. You know what? That's the case for everyone in the Pac-12. All of those major contenders really seem to face off going head-to-head in the last 4 or 5 weeks of the season, the Utes not excluded. Your view into the Pac-12 is brought to you by Peach Doors and Windows. Peach is Utah's premier door and window retailer, combining beauty and technology on doors and windows since 1993. Give them a call today for your free in-home estimate, 801-566-1255. When we come back, we will get you ready for Hans and Scotty on a Football Friday. Stick around. Jake and Ben, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
For the best college football in Utah is on the KSL Sports Zone.
It's a huge battle for the Utes as they hit the road to take on Oregon State. Your home for the best coverage of Utah football is right here on 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone. This is Jake Scott and Ben Anderson, presented by Any Hour Services on 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone.
Jake and Ben, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. We've been hanging out live all day at Peach Doors and Windows, 2940 South and 300 West. We've got Hans and Scotty coming up next as they can continue to get you ready for BYU and Cincinnati tonight, and of course Utah and Oregon State. But let's bring in Cindy from Peach Doors and Windows. Cindy, what have we missed? Maybe we've talked about custom doors. We've talked about changing out windows and increasing not just the functionality, but the efficiency of them. But, I mean, really, the possibilities are endless. I know we've missed a lot, despite the fact that we've talked about so many of the different things that you can do.
Well, one thing I just wanted to mention is we are in control of a project because we have all of our employees in-house. And that's not something our competitors do. Most of our employees have decades of experience in what they do, and we rely upon our installers. They are our secret sauce because they will take good care of you. So our quality installation, and you can read about our installation and the quality of our products. We have close to 500 five-star reviews. And so go ahead and read our Google reviews. That says a lot about us.
I think that's a great reminder because still, I mean, if you've worked on a project and they've had to hire outside, whoever you bring in says, well, no, we got to go get this other installer or this contractor here and all these different, you know, services that they're hiring out. Well, then you're at the beck and call of how quickly they can get to you. And if they've got several other jobs, I mean, that can hold up your entire project for several months. And that's not something you're going to have to worry about because, again, you're building the windows. You've got the windows here. You can customize it for somebody's home. And you're working with them from the very beginning of this process to the end.
Right. And we want to make it as turnkey and as easy as possible for you. And we don't want you to be overwhelmed. We want you to just sit back and enjoy the process and let us be in control. And one thing that we feel like we're extremely good at, that a lot of contractors get a bad rap for, is not communicating. I mean, how many times nowadays do you call someone and leave a message and they don't call you back? We try to answer the phone. We try to communicate with you. We try to update you. We try to keep you informed. And when we say we're going to be there Thursday morning for your install, we're there Thursday morning for the install.
Well, come on down, check out the showroom. We actually just had a couple of people walk in, and they're testing out the doors. They want to see what it feels like to have them slide open, what the handles feel like, what the weight is of the door. That's great. That's not something you can do at every store. You can't check out exactly what it's going to feel like to have that door handle in your hand, to see the windows themselves, to see what it feels like to slide them open and close, check out the European tilt and turn windows. Really, I promise you, come on down, check out the showroom. Super warm, super inviting, and Cindy, you and your staff are just incredible.
Thanks, Ben. We're glad you're here today. Have a great weekend.
2940 South, 300 West, 2940 South, 300 West. Check them out online. Peach Doors and Windows. Check them out online if you're going to go check them out. It's peachbuildingproducts.com. But again, stop on by, see the showroom, 2940 South, 300 West. You can also call and schedule a free in-home estimate, 801-566-1255, 801-566-1255. Sarah, thanks for running everything back in the studio all week. Jake will be back with us next Monday. Always excited to see what happens there. And, of course, we'll have a full breakdown on games for you. But stick around. Hans and Scotty coming up next. Jake and Ben, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. Don't miss Cold's new Season 3, where I look into the unsolved disappearance of Cherie Warren, a woman last seen leaving her job at a Salt Lake City office in 1985. Police cast suspicion on Cherie's estranged husband and boyfriend, but never made any arrests or recovered Cherie's remains. Find Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie, anywhere you get your podcasts.